Today on Real Radio.
We are living off of hope. Every one of us today. Our lives are foundationally based upon some foundation or premise of hope. Now the question this morning is, what is your hope in?
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. Verses 31 through 34 record a conversation between Messiah Jesus and fisherman Peter. In fact, Jesus prophesied that Simon Peter would deny his Messiah three times before the night was out. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called When Hope Seems Lost.
When hope seems lost. And I thought about presenting this message by taking the time to gather all kinds of hopeless situations that looked absolutely hopeless until help came. And you know, there were too many of them. From World War II, pilots downed at sea, etching onto their notepad their last final wishes, and resolving to death, and then all of a sudden being rescued. People who were trapped in buildings thinking that they were going to perish, but all of a sudden they're rescued. People who, for example, lost their jobs, lost their lives, or any meaning or purpose to live for, I should say, and they got ready to take a handful of pills, and then somebody knocked at the door. What's going on? And what is this thing about hope? We need to know it, because there's days, by the way, when everything is fine in our lives, and we don't even think about hope. And yet the very thing that is causing you and I to be so buoyant, happy, content, joyful, is that thing called hope. We take it for granted. Church family, think for a moment. If we got up this morning, now I know it's early, and for many old folk like me, the first thing I have for breakfast is a cup of coffee to see if I'm still alive. I can't determine yet if I am alive until after the coffee. As a pastor, somebody will ask me, they just did before service, how's your day going, pastor? And I said, I don't know. This is my pat response. Haven't I said it to you? Todd, I know I've said it to you. I don't know. Don't ask me until after third service. Then I'll tell you how my day's going. We all have our thing. But what we're doing in this life is this. We are living off of hope. Every one of us today. Our lives are foundationally based upon some foundation or premise of hope. Now, the question this morning is, what is your hope in? What's your hope in? You know that in this chapter we've been dealing with and learning about the Passover and the communion service. Jesus instituted that. I don't need to go into review of it. You can get last week's teaching. But the life of a man jumps out at us that we want to look at and visit again. But let me read it to you, though, in its full context. I know you're there, Luke 22. Let me start back in verse 24. Now, there was also a dispute among them, the disciples, to which one of them should be considered the greatest. And Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles, or the nations, exercise lordship over them because, or for those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, or boss, president, dictator, leader, prime minister, you fill in the blank, a place of authority, but not so among you. Don't you love that? Jesus is saying, I don't want you guys walking around with titles hanging on your robes. And you're not going to get any key parking spots with your donkeys at the synagogue either. Not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as one who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? And yet among you, I'm one as one who serves, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table. Notice, they're going to be sitting down at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 31, here we are. And the Lord said to Simon, 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 that's Peter, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. Peter, the man, I think we all would have loved him. We touched on his life last week. The scenario's pretty amazing. You guys know this from being here through these weeks of study. They're in the upper room. They're all gathered together. The upper room moment started first with Judas being in the midst of them. Jesus had been saying earlier even that I'm going to be betrayed. And I'm sure that the disciples thought, well, he's going to be betrayed by somebody else, not by the clique. I mean, not by the group. The group's not going to rip him off. I mean, we're buds. In fact, Judas was such a good deceiver that he was the one that held all the money for the ministry. Did you know that? The Bible says that Judas held the treasury for the ministry. If you needed money to go buy, you know, something to eat, you would ask Judas. He was the guy that carried the money for the ministry of Jesus. That's how much he was trusted. You and I are on the other side of hindsight. We see it as like, wow, how could they have done that? Were these guys dumb? They were not dumb. Judas was a deceiver. In fact, the Bible says that he used to take money out of it when nobody was looking. Judas. Jesus says now in the upper room, behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me at the table. Well, that doesn't help matters at all because there was 12 of them. All of them had their hand at the table. Church, listen. Friends, listen. Every one of them at the table could have withdrawn their hand back and said, oh my goodness, is it me? Didn't they also begin to debate among one another? Is it I, Lord? Is it I? And then all of a sudden, you go from this moment of, oh man, and you know how we are as people. Oh man, is it I? Is it him? And then you start thinking about yourself, well, I'm not going to deny him. It can't be me. So then what happens? You begin to look at others. I bet it's Andrew. I bet it's Peter. Or I bet it's John. And whoever you are, you're pointing at the other guys. Isn't that how we do it? Now, down deep inside, I'm sure each and every one of them thought and felt on the inside, Jesus, I'll never deny you. You know what we love about Peter? He's the one that shoots his big mouth off. He's the one that says, all these other guys are going to forsake you. I'll never forsake you. You can trust in the old rock, Jesus. Peter's a sweet guy because, you know, a little bit later, he's going to pull out a sword and cut off somebody's ear trying to protect Jesus. Remember Malchus? Well, we'll read about it in a few weeks or months or whenever we get to that. It's like Jesus needs Peter to protect him. Pretty amazing stuff. So now all this is going on, and Judas now slips out. Remember Jesus in the gospel, it's recorded, what you do, do quickly. And the disciples thought that Jesus had sent them out on private business. They still didn't get it. And then all of a sudden, it goes from that weird argument to, oh yeah, not only am I not going to deceive him, and trick him and betray him, but I'm going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that how things go? It sounds like kids arguing in the schoolyard. Oh, no, no, not me. In fact, I'm going to be the greatest. And there's an argument about which one of them would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. While Jesus tells them, oh, yeah, while you guys are bickering about who's really something, I am going to be betrayed and I'm going to die. And it's almost like they went, huh, what? Anyway, I'm going to be the greatest. So I want to look at a few things about that this morning. So this is just kind of table talk for us being together today. Because I want to get as much as we can, as practical as we can, out of this. When hope seems lost, you guys, we've all been there. And if you haven't been there, then you're going to be there. I want to encourage you this morning. There's going to come a time in your life when nothing seems right. There's going to come a time in your life when it's you're walking with God, you know the Lord, you got your Bible open, you're even serving the Lord, and things aren't connecting. I shared with our pastors the other day, we had just a private get-together, and it was a sweet time, and we were talking about endurance. And I can say this now because it's long past, but I remember a time when this church was little, about 1996, for some of you that's like 1896. And I remember going through a dry time in my life when I prayed, and it felt like the roof fell on top of my head. It felt like I couldn't get a prayer out of the room of my house. And then when I opened the Bible, you guys, have you ever opened the Bible? And it used to scream at you, the wonders and glories of God. And then you open the Bible and it's like, what? I don't understand what I'm reading. But Lord, I mean, I'm just reading it, but nothing's happening. And then you go to share Jesus with somebody and you fall flat on your face. It's like you stumble over your words. And it's like, this is not normal. You guys, have you ever had that? Somebody, I hope second and third service is as honest as you guys. That is a really tough thing. And then you come to the point where this is going to pass. And I've had those times pass in my life. It comes and goes. And you check all the bases, right? Okay, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay, Lord, everything's fine. What's up? And it's just dry. What is God doing in our lives? I'm old enough now to announce to you, cheer up. He's building endurance, which brings about a confirmed walk in your life, but it's all based upon hope. And when we lose hope, that's when we begin to panic. But if we have hope that God is going to continue, even in those dry spells, we're going to make it. And so I remember that dry spell going on. It was about a week long, then it was 2 weeks, then it was 3 weeks long. And I was doing Sundays and Wednesdays and guest speaking, flying back and forth through Russia, starting churches, all the stuff that's going on. And Lord, still pretty dry. Hey, Lord, are you there? And there was no response. 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 11 months, 12 months, 2 years. 2 years went by. You say, Jack, what were you doing? I'm doing what I'm doing right now. Just everything doing normal. But God showed me, and I've used this term on you before. During that period of time in my life, it was like licking a rock. Have you ever licked a rock? I encourage you, I'm not joking, go find a rock. When you're spiritually dry and you lick a rock, it's like, that's it. You're doing everything you're supposed to be doing, but something's dry and silent. You know what God is doing? God is, well, now you know, because of hope, God is saying, I'm right here, Jack. I want to see how long you'll go through with this. I'm right here. And it came down to this. Lord, I'm not going anywhere. To whom shall I go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And I said, Lord, I'm not leaving. I'm not going. I'm going to stay right here. And I think he eventually got tired of me crying out like that. And these seasons pass. I want you to take that thought and make yourself put on Peter's robe and Peter's sandals. And I want you to think and be Peter, because at some point in time, you and I will be. Number one is this, verses 31 to 32. When hope seems lost in our lives, my friends, this is what's important. There are reasons to hope again. Mark that down. You're going to need it. There are reasons to hope again. Don't lose hope. What happens? What do we do when our breath is taken away from us, as it were? When life seems to kick you right in the gut, and all of the air comes out of your diaphragm spiritually. What do you do? Listen, church, cheer up. There is an absolute reality that God inserts into our lives at times like these that we cannot receive at any other time. Church, I pray for you. And I know you pray for me. But I pray, oh God, grow this church up. Lord, listen, you guys may not like this next prayer, but I pray it because we don't like change. But I'm always praying, God, change us. Change this church. Change us from glory to glory, God. Change us. Don't let us become stagnant, stale, moldy, and crusty. But Lord, infuse into us new life and new blood. God, there's reasons for you and I to hope. In your marriage right now, in your job, or the fact that you don't have a job, you are alive. You're breathing. Don't lose hope. If God was done with you as a Christian, trust me. If God was done with you as a Christian, you would die now, die today. The rapture will happen. You'll slip on a banana, whatever. When God's done with you, you go home. He doesn't let you loiter about. That's one of my kids. Who's that over there? That's one of my kids. He's just licking a rock over there somewhere. When God's done with you, he'll bring you home. You say, well, is God done with me? Are you home yet? You're not home yet. You need to understand, man, God is ready to use you, and this whole dry spell, this difficult time, this Peter moment that you're going through, God is in it like never before. How so? Mark it down. When we go through these times, when hope seems lost, there are reasons to hope again, and I'll just give you a couple of them. Number one, it's this. You are about to learn the truth. And you need to mark truth down right there. You are about to learn the truth. And the truth is this, that God rules in the affairs of men. That is absolutely true. But does God rule in my life personally? In the day-to-day living of my life, look at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. Do you guys all remember what that word asked means? Did we get into that last time? It's a command. And Satan, listen, I hate to say this, but it's true. What Satan says to Jesus is actually accurate. That's what makes him such a dangerous deceiver. He says a lot of truth and then slips in a lie, a lot of truth, slips in a lie, until you wind up falling asleep regarding his statements, and then he slips in a lie. He says a lot of cool things and then slips in false doctrine. Are you okay? Are you with me? Wasn't Jesus attacked in the wilderness by Satan using what? A bazooka? An RPG? Scripture. Satan knows how to use the Bible. He knows the Bible better than any of us. The good thing for us is that when we read it, we have the light of the Spirit to transfer the word into our hearts. When Satan looks at the Bible, he's got a megalomaniac bias that when he reads it, he reads into it rather than the Bible reading into him. Church, rather than the Bible reading into you, Satan turns around and reads into the Bible. He's deceived. The very book that sets you free is the very book that in his deception winds up, he thinks, setting himself free. He thinks he's going to win in the end. He believes that. He's so deceived. You and I are to learn the truth. He said, Jack, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? Everything. When you and I have a sense that we're losing hope, it is God's way of bringing you and I to a place of growing deeper, church. Listen, growing deeper, stepping further out into the truth of God. And you will not go there. I will not go there on my own. You've got to push them. God would say, take the little kids and push them into the... Look, you teach your kid how to swim. Little tiny kid. Teach him how to swim. Have you ever watched a little kid learn how to swim? It's pretty brutal. My nephews, I've been watching my nephews learn how to swim. They come over and swim in our pool. And I'm really getting to that grandparent stage, I think, because it's like, oh, you don't want to get your kid wet, do you? Oh, you don't want to hold him underwater like that, do you? No, I'm kidding. Looks like he's drowning to me. No, it's fine. This is what we're doing. We're training him. It's like, oh, man. But you know what? God does that to us. God, are you there? It sounds like this, huh? God, are you there? There, there, there. Anybody out there? There, there. God says, I'm here, 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 here. But you won't feel me, feel me, feel me. But I'm near, near, near. Hopelessness can seep in and take over. Jesus says to Peter, Satan's asked for you, and here's the word he used. He has demanded you by your name. And remember, the word to ask for you, the word you, mark it in your Bible. I know I touched on it at the third service. You guys got ripped off at first last week. The word you, it's kind of a cool word. It doesn't fit right in English, but the Greek word is. Satan has asked for you, Peter. That's a fact. But the word you there is use, plural. He's asked for every one of you disciples by name. And here's what that word ask means. He has demanded that I release you to him. You say, Jack, does Satan have the authority to demand of Jesus to release the disciples to his violence? The answer is absolutely yes. Satan has the authority to ask Jesus to release the disciples. Jesus had not yet gone to the cross. Now, hopefully, this weekend in history is going to change all that. But Satan is standing there and he's saying, I want you to release Peter to me now, and I want to rip him in half. Jesus understands the act of redemption. Know the truth. Jesus Christ answers and speaks to him. But before we get into that and being encouraged by it, we must learn the truth that we are in a war, Christian, Don't ever forget it. We are in a spiritual battle, and our enemy is a very, very nasty enemy. 1 Peter, hey, looky there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter writes this when he's an old man. This is after. So we know, for those of you who are new here today or you've never read the Bible before, I can't take the suspense. Does Peter make it? I can't wait till next week's episode. Oh no, listen, I'm going to fast forward now years. Peter's gray-haired now. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren in the world. Wow. Hope, are you under attack? I had somebody tell me this last week, Wednesday night service afterwards. Pastor Jack, I'm afraid I'm going insane. This is not a joke. I feel as though I'm afraid I might be going nuts. And I said, what's the matter? I lay down at night, I read my Bible, I sing praises to God, I lay down at night. And just before I doze off, I start hearing voices. Too many voices. He says, I start hearing very, very vulgar, nasty, horrible voices. Get up, turn on the lights, look around, listen, open the window, nothing, silence. And I said, and so what? And he said, and then I get a really bizarre sense that there's just something near me. And I said, well, what's going on in your life? Are you doing this, 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 or the other? Because there's certain things that allow, open up demonic activity to manifest. He said, no, I've been really drawn closer to Jesus. I've been really getting close with God. And I said, so what happens when you open up your Bible again when that happens and you start praising and praying and calling out on the name of Jesus? What happens then? Oh, it vanishes. It just goes away. And there's seasons of this.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called When Hope Seems Lost. It's taken from part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22, a conversation between Jesus and Simon Peter. It's part of our teacher's verse by verse through this eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've got Pastor Jack right here to tell us about something new at our own realradioactive.org. Pastor Jack?
Well, we're very excited. I'm very excited about this next offer for all of our Real Radio listeners, and that is a devotional from me to you. If you would just take a few moments to sign up, it'd be a great opportunity for you and I, as it were, to link together in spirit. It's entitled The Words to the Wise, and it's based upon Proverbs 22:17, where the scripture there says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge." And the knowledge of the Lord is the greatest knowledge that we could have. So this collection of writings is something that has come out of my life personally. No one else wrote these things. It's from my heart to you. And just in this amazing world that we live in, you know, this radio program spans the globe. And I'm thinking of a way of how we can get together more closely, in the sense of a brother and sister in Christ. And so we just right here at Real Radio came up with this devotional idea. I love it. I hope you love it. You can simply sign up at realradioactive.org. I think you'll be encouraged by what you read and what the Lord might do in your heart. Because, you know, together you and I are going through this Christian experience. We're hanging on to the Word of God. And I think the more that we share with one another about what God is doing in our lives, the more encouraging it becomes until we see the Lord face to face. So I hope you take the time to sign up. And again, this is a brand new chapter in what we offer you here at Real Radio. So God bless you, and I hope to communicate with you in this new Words to the Wise devotion.
Okay, so again, that's realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.